This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 402 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, and now with a revised Skype profile pic, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Well, I've got good news and bad news.
Okay. The bad news is you're back with us.
Now, the good news is
right.
I spent over an hour and a half researching tonight's episode.
Oh, my goodness.
I put some serious hard yards in today.
Fantastic.
That's probably, if you add up the amount of the time I've researched, so maybe the last 20 episodes, I've doubled that just today.
Excellent.
That's the good news.
Okay, what's the bad news?
I found even less stuff than normal. Which is why it took so long.
Right.
Damn thing. Kept looking and looking and looking. I got so desperate, I went back to May 2000.
What? For what?
Just desperation.
What were you looking for?
Anything.
Oh, okay. Something current, obviously. Oh, dear. Okay, so how's your week been?
My week has been, it's actually been 2 weeks, really, hasn't it?
It has.
Because that whole thing about me wanting to be paid.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Disgraceful.
I was off doing a corporate job, getting paid lots of money for doing not an awful lot of work.
Excellent. What fun subject matter were you shooting this time?
Boring. I had to photograph a Perspex sign holder. You know, those little shelf counter talker things?
Yeah.
With and without the flyer in it.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. It was just...
Sans reflections, of course.
In a non-studio.
Yeah.
On a piece of carpet.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, God, it was gold. So I was doing that, and then I had the privilege on Friday through Sunday to go down to the VAPS conference down here in Warrnambool.
Oh, yep.
The Victorian Association of Photographic Societies. I was one of their keynote speakers.
Yep.
And I had a fabulous couple of days.
Cool.
I didn't go to the cocktail party on the Friday night.
Oh, okay.
I only arrived about 10 minutes before my speech.
Right.
Showed up for dinner. And then, oh, no, so after my speech, I did a photo shoot. So I had a really bad migraine the Friday night. I was working till like about 10 o'clock at night, which is why I didn't go to the presentation.
Yep.
I was working for the cocktail party. I was working. Then I got a migraine, couldn't get to sleep till like 4 in the morning.
Oh.
So I wasn't up for getting up early and going to listen to other speakers talk on subjects that don't interest me.
No.
So I got to my session. I was the first keynote speaker after lunch. So I got there during lunchtime because it was a dark auditorium, just lay there with my eyes closed.
Yeah, as you would.
I'd only finished my presentation like an hour before going on stage.
Oh, what?
And I hadn't had a run through yet. So I get on stage and just waiting for the painkillers to kick in and did my thing. And, well, I was fabulous, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, as I'd expect, no less. Yeah, I think there's like 240 people there from 44 different camera clubs.
Wow.
There's still 3 people sleep in the front row. You know, it was put short. Right. Yeah, if you're gonna nap, don't do it in the front row. It's quite off-putting.
it makes Glyn jealous.
You can have a nap, but I don't. And then I had to do this. I'd been asked to do a little workshop afterwards, like an hour and a half, 2 hour workshop.
Right.
Outdoors. On this bluff overlooking the ocean and stuff down there, which is a lovely area.
Okay.
And they told me they were going to cap it at 15 people.
Right.
And then they said, oh, it's actually going to be 20.
Right.
Then it's, oh, no, we're 25.
Right.
Then on the way down, they're telling me 30.
Oh, jeez.
Then when I arrived, they're telling me 33. 40 showed up. So I had 40 people, one flash, two models, one flash. It was utter chaos. Everyone said they had a good time.
Yeah.
Everyone said they got stuff out of it. Everyone got a couple of really nice pics.
And how many triggers do you have to share amongst the four?
Well, only one person could shoot at a time anyway.
Yeah. So you only have one trigger.
But I had one for Canon, I had for Nikon, I had for Olympus, I had for Sony. The only person who showed up who couldn't shoot was a Pentax user.
Right.
Because the Pentax just don't support decent off camera flash at all. It's just a ridiculous. Oh, it's just ridiculous.
So do they use some sort of proprietary hot shoe?
No, Sony's got the proprietary hot shoe, but I had a trigger for that. The E-mount Sony lens cameras have their own new style of hot shoe. So I had a trigger for that. So the guy with the E-mount, he was covered. But they just don't trigger. Damn things. Had the same problem in India last time with a woman with a Pentax. She couldn't shoot any off-camera flash stuff.
Wow.
Just ridiculous. I mean, they've got every other feature on the planet. You've got color grading and pixel shifting mapping something or other.
This is the Pentax bodies.
It's got Star Trek. Oh no, it's got every stupid feature that's not needed.
Right.
And something that's really, you know,
popular, critical. Yeah.
Not there.
Wow.
So I took in about three or four dresses, and they had shoots going on all over the place. One portrait shoot. Mine was a paid shoot. People had to pay to come to see me. So they got that tripled up their money, and I got the same pay, which is. But they had a free portrait shoot going on and a free landscape shoot going on. The other portrait session had 126 people.
What?
Doing a shoot. I think they had five models though or something. So that made it quite so bad. But I took down a whole bunch of my dresses and they all borrowed my dresses. But then a couple of the models showed up at the shoot where we were. So I shot all them. It's quite a nice bit of nice sky.
Yep.
And everyone goes. I did a shoot for each of the models just as a thank you.
Right.
Pop out and that was a bit of fun. I got a couple of nice shots.
I saw the shots that you put up. I
shot for about a minute and a half for the whole day.
Yeah.
It was bad. but I had a great look. It was a lovely weekend, and met some lovely people, and people said lovely things about me, which always makes it a good weekend.
You must have considered that image one of your half dozen for the year, because you actually updated it as your cover photo.
Oh no, I was just bored with the cover photo.
Oh, okay.
Since it was not even anywhere within the wheelhouse of anything decent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was just the same crap, different day, basically.
Right.
It was my thought for that image, but still.
Fair enough.
So I did a talk at Michael's Camera last Thursday as well.
Okay. Yep.
And I had the largest turnout for the year, which was nice. That made me happy. And I got to finally meet Carl Hemmings.
Oh, cool.
He came along. He's a tall bugger.
Is he?
He's like 6'4".
I was going to say, I not that I've ever met him, but from the photos I'd seen, I'd been thinking he must be tall.
Really? I don't pay that much attention, photos and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'd never thought of I wonder how tall Carl is. I'd never thought that. Like,
no.
I don't think, how stupid is that? Is Adam Davidson? I don't think that's the stuff, Well, maybe a little bit about Adam. But, so I'd never thought, I wonder how tall he is. But when I met him, he's like, tall. But so we had only chance for a quick couple of minute chat because we had other stuff and I had to bolt from the talk to get home and pick the kids up from school.
Right.
So you go from being up there on stage and all the ha-ha, and then I've got to run home and pick the children up from school.
Yep.
Quite a shift. And then I did a talk at Essendon Canberra Club on Monday night. So I've had a busy week of talking.
Yeah, right.
It's something I do very much. I don't talk very often. So But here's the bad thing about the Essendon Canberra Club. I was telling everyone all weekend, I'm doing Essendon Monday night, I'm doing Essendon Monday night, I'm doing Essendon Monday night. And then I had some news on Monday, which I'll talk about in a minute, as much as I can, and I just completely forgot.
Oh, no.
So there's me tucking my little one into bed. She's reading a book to me, and by chance I've got my phone with me, this little message comes up. It's 7:47, and this little message pops up at 7:47 and says, "Are you on your way?" And I've looked at it, I've gone, oh, my God.
I've got to be on the other side of the city in 15 minutes.
In 13 minutes. 7:47 starts at 8 o'clock. Fortunately, I'm only 20 to 25 minutes away with reasonable traffic, So I bolted out the door in like about a minute and a half later to grab my computers. Bolted out. I hadn't even done up my shoe. By the time I finished my speech, my shoes still weren't done up.
Yeah, right.
I'm doing something to my shoelaces. I bolted out. They got there just before 20 past eight, which is pretty good because I couldn't get a parking spot either.
Yeah.
And they were just finished. But it starts at 8 o'clock. They were doing all the normal meeting stuff and talking about upcoming events and stuff. So I was on time, effectively. And
you didn't need to be on stage at 8 o'clock.
No,
it's just when the night began.
The night began.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So I was fabulous. Yeah, under pressure. Yeah, arriving, arriving on there and basically just did exactly the same talk I did on the VAPS conference on the weekend. So
right.
So I said, like, how many people are here on the weekend, and only went to the weekend event, and only one person had been. Said, oh, thank goodness, because if like half the audience had already heard it, it was going to be a bit tough. So that was really good. Before I went down to the VAPS, I popped into our lovely friends at Tamron, picked up a couple of new lenses. I picked up the new 70-210 f/4.
Ooh,
nice. Yeah, really nice, actually, because, I mean, the 70-200-28, it's a beautiful lens, but it's a big, heavy lens.
Yeah.
The 70-210 f/4, it's not small as far as length goes, but it's certainly a lot thinner and a lot lighter.
I was going to say, it won't be as heavy.
Yeah, it's a great alternative. And I picked up that. That's what I got to keep. But also took down the new 28-75 for Sony for the E-mount.
Oh, right.
This is the world's first, which surprises me, the world's first non-Sony zoom lens.
Is this what they're calling the FE mount?
I think so.
An FE lens? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the first one that's not been made by Sony released by Sony, which really surprised me because those E lens have been around a few years.
I was going to say, yeah, E mount's been around for about 4 or 5 years.
So Sigma's got all the art lenses and stuff, I think, for them.
Yep.
But all they've done is just put the electronics on the back, or change the electronics from Canon, Nikon, whatever. They haven't built a lens specifically for it.
Right.
They've just adjusted the electronics. So this is the first purpose-built lens as well.
Wow.
Kind of interesting. So, yeah. Mm. And last but not least in my – second last but not least in my news,
yeah.
I got approached by this app company just yesterday, actually, 25 hours ago to be exact.
Right.
From a new app called Dayflash.
Okay.
And it's kind of a social media photo sharing site. I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Okay.
But I put some photos up, and but it's kind of like, I have no idea. You kind of go to someone's profile, and rather than having like 50 photos in a row or whatever, you can put together like little flash.
Oh, flash as in flash animations.
Not really.
Like slideshow type thing?
Yeah, like a little slideshow. So you just tap the phone, tap, right. And it taps through half a dozen images or whatever, however many you put in that little foldery thing.
Right.
And then you can like them and you can comment them as you're going along as well. So it's right. The layout seems quite nice. I'm not sure if it's going to take off or not.
So it's kind of an Instagram with motion?
Well, it's not motion because it's not video. It's literally just a different way of perusing someone's work rather than
– right.
Because if you're on Instagram, you've got and you see one photo of theirs you like,
yep.
You've got then got to go to their profile.
Yep.
Then you've got all those little boxes. You've got to click each box individually.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fairly – and then go back out and then go back in, which is a fairly tedious process.
Yes.
Where this is simply just tap with your thumb and it just keeps flicking through the –
yeah,
so it's just like going through a folder of images or a book of images, basically.
Okay,
which is quite nice. I've been having a little bit of play with that.
All right.
And
did you send me a link for that amongst your links?
No.
Okay.
It's only available for iOS at the moment. It's not.
Out oh, of course YouTube. It is. Well, we don't care then.
All the good people. And it's just called Dayflash.
Okay.
And if you join up, look up Glen Lavender and come and join me.
Yeah. Right.
It's finally.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got some big news.
What's that?
Biggest news ever.
Okay.
Biggest news of my entire career.
Really?
Enormous.
Okay.
Huge. Can't tell anyone about it.
Right.
It's pretty disappointing, isn't it?
Yes.
I've been approached by someone to do something at some time for some other thing.
Yeah.
Biggest thing in my career.
Wow.
And here's the other thing too. I don't even know what it is I have to do. But I've said yes.
Oh, okay. Because
the contract hasn't arrived. The contract's going to come in from overseas, hopefully over the weekend.
Right.
They're writing it, and the contract will stipulate what I need to do.
Yeah.
And then I'll see if I can do it.
Wow. Okay.
But I've said yes, and I've quoted a price, and they've agreed. So that's all good.
Right.
But part of it will involve having a video crew following me around.
Right.
So yeah, that's not giving away too much.
Yeah,
yeah, it's huge. I'm flummoxed and amazed and quite. I'm excited like a 2 year old boy. No, that's probably not good. A 13 year old. No, same boys. I'm pretty excited.
Wow. It's watch this space.
It's quite. I think it's quite an honour, and I'm really quite delighted. But we'll see.
Okay.
It all comes together. Now, whilst I was down at the VAPS conference as well, just talking about a couple of my bits of news, I came across a couple of other keynote speakers. There were three keynote speakers for the weekend.
Right.
And I think, actually, there might have been two plus this other guy. I don't know. He might have been a keynote. I'm not
so
sure.
You couldn't use your "I'm the best keynote speaker since the last keynote speaker" gag?
No, but I did say I'm the best speaker since lunchtime.
Excellent.
But one guy was a guy called Josh Holko, H-O-L-K-O, which I'd never met, never heard of. Apparently he's a Canon ambassador-y kind of thingery or something. But he's an Arctic photographer. So he leads photo tours down the Arctic and does all his wildlife preservation things for penguins and stuff. So he's got a range of different types of tours. But one of them is his deluxe package. Sounded quite amazing, in that he hires one of these Russian cargo planes, the big, huge, huge things.
Okay.
Gets another plane, folds it up and puts it inside the cargo. Then they fly this thing down to the Arctic, or the Antarctic, down the bottom, and they unload this plane, then build the plane down there.
Right.
And they fly the plane around different parts to do stuff.
Okay.
It's a fairly impressive bit of an operation, you have to say. And he has this huge ratio of assistants to clients. So he said, I can't say what he said, 10 to 1.
What, 10 assistants for every client?
10 assistants for every client.
That sounds a bit over the top.
But what it is, I guess, this is, well, yeah, we've got a truck, so we've got to have a truck mechanic. Right. We've got a plane, we've got to have a pilot, we've got to have a pilot mechanic. We've got a glaciologist.
Right.
We've got animal wildlife specialists, all this support crew that goes around this thing. I mean, we're talking.
You don't need one of each of those for every client.
As I said, I can only say what he says. I'm not here to doubt him.
Fair enough.
But it's over $50,000 his trip.
Yoy, yoy, yoy.
Yeah. He's got some fabulous photos.
He's got some gorgeous images. Yeah.
I didn't listen to him talk, but apparently he was quite good. But I was in bed, I think. The Sunday morning when the phone rings and it startles you awake, and it's 20 to 11 in the morning and reception's asking if you're checking out because you're 40 minutes past checkout. So I may have missed the morning session. So, so he's got some lovely stuff and I just thought a lot of people found him really, really fascinating and really interesting, and he's doing something quite a bit different. So I thought, well, we'd put him out there.
That would be an awesome spot to go and shoot.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And, not really in my wheelhouse, but what are you going to do?
Hmm.
And the other guy, and this is, I thought, something far more doable for most of our clients, including ourselves.
Okay.
I met this. Lovely, really, really, really nice guy. So I hated him already, but a really, really, really nice guy called Dennis Smith.
Right.
And he'd come up from Adelaide, so I had to speak a little bit slower for him. but Dennis Smith designs light painting tools.
Oh, okay.
He does light painting workshops.
Right.
And so not only is he the loveliest of loveliest guys, Dennis Smith his name is, a lovely, lovely, lovely guy. He's got all this really, really cool light painting stuff.
Oh, okay.
So at some point during the year, I'm going to try and maybe get him over here to Melbourne and get him to put on an evening for some people.
Yeah, nice.
People who are interested. And we could maybe try and do the same thing for Sydney.
Cool.
And he's got some good images as well. He's got some good images and some fabulous, fabulous tools to create very different kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
So I thought that we could showcase some of his things and give him a bit of a pump up. I said he should come on the podcast one day and give us a bit of a chat about light painting skills.
For sure.
Interesting.
Definitely.
So, but we might have some new – I've been pimping it out all over the last few days at the Michael's Talk VAPS conference. I've been pimping out. I've even got the right website now for our podcast.
Okay.
Presentation. So we might have a new listener or two this episode. So
fantastic.
If you're new, hello. Join us on Facebook and say hello.
Yes, absolutely.
Marvellous, marvellous. What else are we talking about tonight? That's all the good stuff. The rest is all boring.
No, well, you might as well run through. You've only got four other things, so you might as well do them.
One thing to improve landscape photography. I thought this was really good. Well, I could do one thing. Yeah, one thing's about...
It's about your
about
limit.
The limit of effort, about the limit of effort I'm hoping. But then, until I open it up, it's, I have only one tip that will hopefully inspire you and help you improve your landscape photography, and that's use a wide-angle lens and get close.
And this was worthy of a Petapixel blog post?
Where did these people come from?
I think someone was struggling to meet their quota for the week, just quietly.
Oh, I just remembered as well. I did get a new tool to play with this week as well. Haven't used it yet. It's called the Lens Flipper.
Right. What?
A little device that you say you're walking along and you've got your 70 to 200 on your camera.
Yep.
But you don't want to go into your backpack to get out and you want to swap over lens. Your backpack's paying the bum to take off and get blah, blah, blah. So you have this little thing called Lens Flipper. It's a strap with this little device. And it's basically a camera mount, a double-sided camera mount. And you have your lens attached to one of them, your 24 to 70.
Right.
And the other mount's open. So you take your 70 to 200 off your camera, click it into that open mount, unclick the 24 to 70 off the other one, pop it on your camera. Seconds flat, change lenses.
Right.
Brilliant.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
And do you think you'll use it?
Well, because look, I've been finding when I travel, I love my 70 to 210 and I love my 15 to 30. But I've been finding a fair bunch of times, like the last trip to India, that I wanted to use my 24 to 70 more. Actually, Bangladesh, not India. I wanted to use my 24 to 70 more.
Right.
And so, but I wasn't going to get it out because it's too lazy to get out of the backpack. But if it's out there and easy to access, maybe I will. Stop that lens laziness.
Right.
So, normally
walk around with two bodies?
But I've already got a 15 to 30 on one and a 70 to 200 on the other.
Oh, I see.
I want access to that 24 to 70 quickly.
Right, now I get you.
Now I can. Yeah.
So okay. Cool.
Now, I did come across one serious article, and this is the GDPR.
Yep.
It's the German data, the General Protection, the General Data Protection Regulation. That's come into the EU.
Yeah, I think everybody has already received about 500 emails in the last 2 weeks.
Nightmare.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It is just – so let's elucidate for those who aren't aware of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Off you go.
Oh, so basically my understanding of it is that the EU has enforced much stricter regulation on websites sending – emails to people who have visited the website without the recipient's consent, and they've instituted this GDPR as a measure. And so basically pretty much every website in the world that sends email out to the people who visited their site now have to inform everybody, hey, because of these regulations and the changes that they're in, we have to now ask for your permission to send you email. So you've now got to click this button to say, yes, I still want to hear from you. And if you don't get back to us, then we're not allowed to send you.
Far worse than
I was only telling you my interpretation of it.
Well, you've got no idea what you're talking about, obviously. Okay. So it's basically if you take a photo of someone,
right,
you're in trouble. Okay. You're in deep trouble because you just their class is the data. That's the data. The person is the data. You've now violated their rights by capturing that image without asking permission.
Right.
So you've breached their privacy, and they're now basically allowed to sue you.
Right.
Google and Facebook were served $8.8 billion in lawsuits on the first day this thing came into place.
Right.
$8.8 billion. It's saying stuff like hundreds of bloggers have taken down their sites, fearful of the possibility of serious fines. Internet light bulbs have stopped working properly, and photographers are being targeted too. How bad is it? If you're a professional, you'll need to fix your customer relationship management, your website, your data security, and much more. Don't email those stupid GDPR emails if you run a newsletter. Chances are you'll just make things worse. If in doubt, ask a lawyer, and there will be doubts. If you're a mum and pop shooting pictures of your family, you should be okay, because it's okay to take photos in the course of a purely personal or household activity. But if you have a million Instagram followers, your kid's birthday party is probably not a household activity anymore. Therefore, you can be sued. If you're a photo enthusiast, then things get tricky. The GDPR sees photography as something even the first Terminator could do, processing personal data. Yes, your dreamy picture of that girl in the sunflower in the field is the collection and sharing of personal data in the eyes of the data protection officer. Many things in the photo are personal data: her face, the location, the time, the date, and everything that's tied to her identity. The legal consequence: you need to provide some kind of justification to take that picture and to put it on your hard disk, or, God forbid, to share it on Instagram. If you're a pro, you have a model release. If you're just a friend, it's out of the scope of the GDPR, but an enthusiast sits uncomfortably in the middle. So if you're out taking street photography as an example, bomb. Street photography especially becomes a legal nightmare. You cannot get consent before you take the shot, because that would usually destroy the moment. And according to the data protection law, you're not allowed to ask for it afterwards. Okay? So...
This strikes me as one of those stupid rules that will never be enforced.
Yeah. Well,
except at a professional level where someone profits from the image, and then they'll come after you.
It's just, yeah.
There's
money to be made.
Exactly.
It's this whole thing again of just, overreaction to stuff.
Mm.
Seems to be the modern way of doing things. You know, it's not just, So anyway, it's interesting. It's something to watch, because that could easily come to any other countries as well, you know?
Yep.
So anyway.
I'll believe it when I see it. Anyway.
All fun and games till someone loses an eye.
That's right. That's right.
And the last couple of things, I went all the way back to 2000, the year 2000 today.
Yeah.
just on a whim.
Yeah.
And then I saw that IBM were just announcing their new micro drive, their 1 gigabyte micro drive, for only $500.
Excellent.
But what did strike my interest was the announcement of JPEG 2000 as the file format of the future.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
And it said possibly within a couple of years, JPEG 2000 will have a smooth transition to take over as the standard file size going forward. Well,
ba-bow.
Didn't seem to do too well, did it?
PNG kind of sank that ship.
Did it really? I don't know what that means.
The PNG format?
Why does that sink a JPEG 2000?
I'm just saying that If anything came along to replace standard JPEG, it was more PNG than JPEG 2000. Really? Like, PNG is at least now quite a common format on the web.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like GIF, it is much more convenient for things with flat blocks of color rather than complete, gradients like you get in photos. So it's good for things with, blocks of slabs of color.
Yeah.
But yeah,
what astounded me about this article was, you look at these two articles taken together, this 1 gigabyte drive for only $500, and now you can buy a terabyte for, $50 or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's been this massive growth. They were advertising these new 2.1 megapixel cameras and only $1,300, all this sort of stuff. So all this stuff has been such a vast shift in these 18 years. There's this light years of change.
In terms of storage capacity.
JPEG's still the same.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a file that's come along and gone, get out of here, JPEG, get out of here, PNG. I'm the new kid in town and I'm going to take over the world.
No.
There's been no revolutionary – no one's come out with I've invented the JPEG that's lossless or something. Yeah, something that's given reason to want to use JPEG over anything else.
No.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
There's been that much growth in everything else, but some things have stayed exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even film got better year on year on year on year.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it improved as far as lack of reduction in grain, better color, better consistency, better lifespan, all this kind of stuff. Film was constantly improving.
Yeah.
JPEG's been the same. Which I guess is because the cameras have been improving, but you know what I mean. I would have thought at some point the files would have something would have happened, but
I,
no.
I'd love to hear from an expert who could talk to us about the similarities and or the differences between JPEG and PNG.
I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't, but I would.
Maybe you can do one of those interviews where I'm busy.
Well, yeah, exactly. Excellent.
Anyway, what's been going on in your stuff that you've got to talk about?
Not a whole lot. I did see this thing on someone posted this on Facebook through the week, and it was to a website called flopstarter.com. And basically this is a parody of Kickstarter, and I think probably inspired by some of the absolutely appalling things that have actually, you know, gained traction on Kickstarter. And so I'm not going to go into some of the things that are there. I think it's just a quick 5 minutes of your time to go and have a little chuckle at some of
all I'm going to say is cucumber bollards.
It's good. It's really good. Rob Coates sent us a story and said, "Dear Inks, a sad photo story from WA." This appeared on the ABC website here in Australia. And it's about people taking selfies, putting themselves at risk, and in the worst cases, losing their lives because of the risks that they took for a selfie. And on that aspect, I have absolutely zero compassion for them.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you're going to be that stupid, you know, because you want Instagram fame or you want to get more likes on Facebook, hey, Darwin Awards were
made
for you.
Make sure you're uploading as you're going down.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Shoot on the way down, you'll be up for instant fame.
Yeah, so this all had to do with a death of a tourist who fell 40 metres down a sheer cliff face on Western Australia's south coast has prompted a warning. Is the perfect holiday snap worth it? So,
and who's to say it was perfect?
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, probably was an average holiday snap worth it.
Yeah,
frankly,
that's
probably what it was going to be.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just, many see this stuff all the time, as we know. You know, the Darwin Award recipient, right there. You got to feel sorry for the family more than anybody else. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Still.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Carl Hemmings sent us a thing. He says, "Wow, a Nikkor 180 to 400mm f/4." With a built-in 1.4x teleconverter that flicks on and off with the correct index finger, unlike Canon. So this is a great little video.
What, does the Canon user not a correct index finger?
Yeah, so what the guy who's doing the video, and I've seen him around, I can't think of his name now, he's from Digital Rev, I think.
Oh, I know the guy.
Yeah. So his bitch is that with Canon, the teleconverter switch that's built into one of the Canon lenses, I don't remember the model number now, it requires the use of your right index finger, which he seems to think is a poor design choice. With this Nikon or the Nikkor lens, they've put that teleconverter switch, I think it was so you could use your left thumb, like it sits near where the left side of the lens barrel meets the flange on the front of the body. And he said it just makes so much more sense to have it on that side than on the side that Canon
has.
Does
it depend which way you hold the camera?
Well, I wouldn't imagine so. Based on the little clip I saw, like in the video, the guy zooms in as he's, like the video cameraman.
You have to understand, this is a guy who holds the tripod bracket rather than spins it up the top so he can secure the lens in his hand better. So we've got to take a little grain of salt for the intelligence of the guy using the thing. He's holding onto the tripod grip, which is so unstable. So if you're trying to shoot a 400mm with a 1.4 times converter and holding onto the tripod grip, the tripod bracket. No, spin that sucker around, put the lens in your hand and have some stability, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
It's also much easier to zoom when you're holding the lens rather than trying to squeeze your fingers up. But I see a lot of people shoot with the shutter button facing down, right?
So the shutter button facing down.
So when you're doing horizontals, your shutter button down rather than up. So therefore, your right finger would be quite convenient to click that button over. And the left one would be really inconvenient because you're trying to hold the heavy camera.
Right, I see.
Makes sense. That's what I'm saying, but it depends on how you hold the camera. And I would say if you do it horizontally, it probably wouldn't make a difference either way.
Okay.
In fact, it'd probably even be easier again to do with your left hand, because if you're not holding the tripod brackets like this person is, and you have it up the top, and you're actually holding the lens, then your thumb's right next to it.
Well, I think that was his argument, was that Nikkor have put it on the left-hand side, but the Canon one, it's on the right-hand side.
No, all the pictures showing it's on the right-hand side.
Have I got it back to front, have I?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So, anyway.
Anyway. There's a
cool idea, but after all that, given all that silliness,
that's a
cool idea to have a built-in converter.
Oh, absolutely.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And, you know, from the video, yeah, the images that he was getting off this thing of a car racing around on a wet track, the autofocus looked pretty damn good on it. So anyway, the video link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that out. David Marland wrote and said, "Hi, Bruce and Glyn, thank you very much for the prize, Steve."
I saw David at Michael's last week. So g'day, yeah. Dave. Lovely to come along to the talk.
Cool. Steve and the others are well-deserving winners. In my case, I'd like to think it was the brown stains on the windowsill providing just that bit more authenticity to my shot of being incorporated into the shutters that won you over. Onward and upward into your 5th century. Wasn't that the Dark Ages? Perhaps the next 100 will be shaped by shadows. Seriously, though, a great achievement. Well done. I'm aiming to be at Michael's on Thursday to see Glyn sparing himself from his extensive research and sacrificing a nap. We'll see how lonely I am.
We all sound halfway through, so it couldn't have been that
good. Best regards, David. And then he sent me another one and said...
But firstly, about the prize, though.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a little issue with the prize.
Oh, you're kidding. Did you not get the 4 Tamron gift packs?
I've just got a little issue with all the prizes.
Oh, what?
You haven't sent me a collated list of all the addresses. I've been too lazy to do it.
I'm not sending you the list. You've got the emails.
God, I can't do all that. It's all over the place.
You're on the email distribution list for a reason.
Send me a list of them. It's just not going to get done otherwise. Make it easy for me to do the right thing, Bruce.
Yeah. David's next email. Hi, guys. Nothing like great customer service. Not. I'm a Flickr Pro subscriber and have been for many years, i.e., I pay for the privilege. Shutters Inc. broke the news to me about Flickr being acquired by Smug Mug nearly 2 weeks ago. Today, May 22, Flickr sent me an email following up on their advice of April 20 that Flickr had agreed to be acquired by Smug Mug, and although the two entities will remain separate, they'll be governed by the Smug Mug Terms of Service, and I've been given until the 25th of May to make changes. I received no email or any notification on the 20th of April from Flickr, yet as a pro subscriber, you would think they would have. Shutters Inc. scoops the knowledge that companies forget to send their customers. At least I didn't get the dear valued customer line. Regards, David. Well, that's interesting.
I've got to say, I'm the same. I'm also a Flickr Pro member, and I didn't get anything from them either. So.
Wow.
Used to me.
That's pretty lame.
Oh, it's Flickr. It's pretty lame. It's been a lame duck for many years.
Yeah, who were they owned by? Were they Yahoo?
They were owned, but Yahoo bought them from someone and paid an awful lot of money for it.
Yeah.
And it went down the toilet from there.
And then sold it for a lot less than they paid for it?
Oh, I think they sold it for about a quarter of what they paid for it, less. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was all downhill from there.
Wow. And then Adam sent us a bunch of stories over the last couple of weeks. The first one, I let hundreds of mosquitoes bite me to get the perfect photo. These were great macro shots of mosquitoes on this guy's arm. And what I found interesting about this.
You found something interesting?
Yeah, just how every mosquito looks different.
They're like snowflakes, Bruce.
They are.
Yeah, every one of them. Unique.
They are. I just thought that was interesting that they all have their own unique little, you know, colorations and shapes and whatever, and yeah. I thought, well, how about that?
Little things are musical minds.
That's right. The next one was a tornado forms in front of a time-lapse photographer's camera.
Oh, nice work.
Yeah, so I don't know whether this guy had, you know, advanced meteorological understanding and knew that this was going to happen, or whether it was pure luck. But yes, as he's shooting this time lapse,
also, that time of year and stuff, it happens a lot.
Yeah, so, of course. And he's obviously in that Tornado Alley region of America where, you know, as you say, it's happening all the time. So maybe it was just that he had a good chance as long as he stood out there long enough. So that link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants it. Photographer captures eagle and fox fighting over a rabbit in midair. This is pretty cool. So basically, both the eagle and the fox felt that they'd got to the rabbit first, and the eagle has flown off with the rabbit, but the fox was not prepared to let go. And
it's gone to the courts for the GDPR.
Yes. Yeah. So let's see Petter get involved in this court case as well.
I saw a similar when the fox sues the eagle. I saw a similar shot of a cheetah attacking a stork in midair during the week, which was astounding as well. Yeah, full leap and just grabbing onto it
and just snatched it out of midair.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. The next one Adam sent me was how a professional cinematographer lights a simple scene. Adam, I went to go and watch this video, and the audio quality was so crap, I gave up on it after about 15 seconds. It's like, wow, there is no excuse for that in this day and age. Anyone who knows how to do video should have also brushed up on their skills on how to capture audio properly at the same time. So, sorry, giving that one a miss, but the link will be in the show notes for anyone who's less discerning in their audio quality listening habits. The next one, Amelia Clark recreates business stock photos, and it's hilarious. Well, I'll argue about the last part of that. I tried to watch it. I didn't think it was particularly hilarious, but
So it's basically do the same shots every night, but pull a funny face.
Yeah, and
let's just remember who sent this in.
Yes, it was Adam.
Right? And he had low expectations of what humour is, and that's our Adam. You know?
Okay, well,
I mean, he's listened to 400 episodes of this. It's going to do something to your brain, isn't it? Right?
Quite possibly. The next one, Philip Bloom accuses Google of using his stock footage without paying. I don't know Philip Bloom. Does that name ring a bell to you?
Yep.
Okay.
He's Mr. and Mrs. Bloom's little boy.
Right. Fantastic.
He does. He's a blogger. He does a filmmaker. Right. He does, I think he does stuff for drones as well.
Okay. So anyway, and then there was another story, which was another unauthorized use of images story of a photographer who was approached by Fox News, presumably in the US, asking to use one of his images in exchange for credit.
His reply was...
I thought it was a very unprofessional reply, and I think, you know, that probably didn't help his case. If he'd been a little bit more diplomatic in his, you know, refusal to provide the image for free, they might have actually, you know, moved on to somebody else. But I think his completely unprofessional reply probably...
Got someone's backup, you reckon?
Absolutely. For those who haven't seen it, his reply was, no, F off.
I mean, let's face it, the guy's Twitter handle is Die Robinson Die.
Yes.
You know, you're probably not looking for the most rational of responses.
Yes. Yeah, I think, you know, I just think in that situation, there's no need to be, you know, that blunt about it. I think you can just write back and go, sorry, no, you're a big organization.
Yeah.
Find the budget. Credits aren't going to pay my rent. You know, you can still be a little bit snarky without being that blatantly, you know, rude.
Yeah. It's, I agree. No. Unless he gets thousands of emails like that from thousands of agencies and he's just had,
that's,
I don't think that's a, yeah, and either way, if it's the first time they've approached you, it doesn't matter. You still can't say that. So
yeah,
I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not winning many people over with his charm and wit.
No. Yeah, anyway. So that's all the stories I had for this week.
That's it.
Yeah,
there's a possibility.
Yes.
No, I probably can't. I was going to say maybe I could talk about my thing next week, but I don't think so.
Okay.
The deadline for my thing is June 20.
Right.
The project's going to be finished. I'm not sure if that's what I can talk about it.
Right.
So I haven't seen the contract yet.
Right.
But yeah, so stay tuned and I'll leave subtle hints of nothingness
all over the web
way through until I can talk about it.
Excellent. Now, some listeners might recall that back, I'm going to say August or September of last year, I had a woman by the name of Anna Gunn appear on the podcast as a guest who she was organizing.
That was a great interview we did, wasn't it?
That I did? Absolutely. Anna was at the time organizing the inaugural Porto Photography Festival in the city of Porto in Portugal. And Glyn suggested that, you know, maybe around September, October, once the furor had died. That's the one. That's the phrase I was looking for. That we get Anna back on the podcast to see how it all went. That never happened. I just happened to be on Skype on Saturday, saw she was online, sent her a message. She didn't get it. When I logged on tonight, she had replied and she was online again tonight. And I said, you know, we should have you back on the podcast, given that she's now organizing the second year of that photography festival for October of this year. And she said, I would love to. And she had other commitments tonight. So we've organized that next week she'll join us to have a bit of a chat about how the first year went. And
what lessons she learned would be interesting to find
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. And to have a chat about what's going to be new and different for the Porto Photography Festival this year.
She hasn't asked us to submit anything, I noticed.
No, she has not.
We should have to have words with her about
that. Maybe you should. Maybe you should.
You know I would.
All right, awesome. Mate. Well, you have a good week.
Well, I'd like to say it's been a pleasure.
I know you would. But you won't.
For them to listen to us, but unfortunately, it's their normal crap every week. There we go. Take care of yourself, everybody.
And apologies to the new listeners.
Yeah, that's it.
See you, mate.
Toodles.
Bye.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.